In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'd like to start with a prayer this morning that goes like this. Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this life may rest in your eternal changelessness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Some of you may recognize those words as being from one of the collects from the Order of Compline, a service that we've been holding online for the past few months every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening at 7 o'clock. And all of you may be wondering, what is he doing with a prayer from the evening that mentions the night at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning? Well, I don't know about you, but with all the turmoil and upheaval going on right now, all the wearying changes and chances that have befallen us in these past few months, with all of the chaos, the frustration, the anger, the divisiveness, and the division that is 2020, well, I don't want to wait for Monday night or whenever. I would like a big helping of God's eternal changelessness right now. Now, change is a fact of life, and actually we often welcome change and we celebrate it. Life would be indescribably boring if nothing changed. We love to see things change. We love the idea of growth, of transformation, of progress. We love our new cars and our shiny new gadgets. We love to visit new places and do new things. We find change therapeutic. We say a change is as good as a rest. And even here at St. Francis, even here in 2020, there are some aspects of change that we might actually find welcome. While I think most of us would all agree that worshiping virtually, as we are doing right now this Sunday morning, is no substitute for the real thing, there are some things that we might welcome. For example, with our online worship, we get to see our wonderful organist, David Knight, at work, rather than having him hidden away behind the organ or the piano. And we can enjoy those amazing virtual choir performances and shout out to everyone involved that can draw us into this music, up close and personal, in a way that's different, perhaps, from watching a choir up here on the chancel. And it's not just the music. The readings and the prayers are being brought to us by a much wider group of people than before, including people who are far away and couldn't make it on a regular Sunday, even if they wanted to, and families and youth and children who've brought new joy and delight to the proceedings. And then, of course, there's all of us online each Sunday morning, behaving in a most un-Episcopalian way, sharing our spontaneous welcomes and blessings in the comments, down here somewhere, words of praise and joy interjected throughout the service, with a virtual amens and even the occasional alleluia. What a delightful change. And if you agree with me, you can hit the thumbs up button right down there. So yes, there are many times when we welcome change, even in the midst of trying circumstances. But this is typically what happens when we drive the change, when things change on our own terms, when we have some amount of control, when this change that we can manage is at our own pace, when we have friends and family to support. But when change comes at us in a way where we can't control, or comes at us too fast for our liking, we feel threatened. Surely some people have a greater tolerance for change than others, and arguably that tolerance somewhat is better in our younger years, but all of us at some point reach a point where we become uncomfortable. We become uncomfortable, we become afraid, we become resistant and hostile to change. So how do we as a people, threatened and wearied by the changes and chances of this life, and wish for the peace and the rest in God's eternal changelessness, how do we deal with unwanted or uncomfortable change? And how do we do this, especially when those changes impact a cornerstone of our lives, our faith community, our communion, our coming together as a community, our very understanding of what being church or what doing church is? Well, perhaps today's gospel from Matthew can provide us some pointers. The reading this morning is quite long. It is a contiguous set of verses from Matthew 15, but essentially it's two very distinct passages. In the first of these, verses 10 through 20, we hear Jesus' discourse on the importance of what comes out of the mouth being more important than what goes into the mouth. And in the second half, verses 21 to 28, we hear the story of the Canaanite woman. In the lectionary, the list of appointed readings for each day, the first section of this is actually in brackets. We left the brackets in the bulletin, if you're wondering what that is. But I wanted to include it today because I think both parts of this gospel have a message about change. Now, change, of course, is what Jesus and the disciples were trying to achieve. They were traveling outside of Jerusalem, in fact, outside of Israel, and they were heading towards Tyre and Sidon, two cities north of Israel in modern-day Lebanon. And their intent was to go and preach to the Jews there, to go to the synagogues and preach to the Jews. They were not there, initially at least, to preach to the Gentiles. Now, they had come across some Pharisees who, in earlier verses, had criticized the disciples for not washing their hands before a meal. Now, of course, washing your hands is a good thing, as we all know too well nowadays. But the Pharisees were not there to be public health experts. The lack of washing that they were complaining about was not a health issue, but it was an issue about ritual defilement. The Pharisees, more than any other group, defined their piety in terms of following rules and rituals. And they used that infraction on behalf of the disciples to question their righteousness. And Jesus comes right back to them and says, in effect, no, this thinking has to change. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's not you following rules and rituals that is important in being godly. It's about what comes out of your mouth. It's what comes from your heart. It's the way you talk. It's the way you treat fellow human beings. That's what's actually important. Now, that's a whole other sermon in there, of course, but let's stick right now to this idea of change. While change can be uncomfortable, it can also bring us back to the fundamentals, to what's important, to what lies beneath the surface, what lies behind the assumptions and comfortable habits we've fallen into. We've seen this in action this year. We've come to realize that beyond the comfortable facade of rugged individualism, we're actually all a lot more connected, a lot closer, a lot more interdependent than we realize. Change, even change forced upon us by a fast-moving global pandemic, can provide an opportunity to reassess, to regroup, to to rethink, to reconsider new ways, and think about what's really important in our lives. The second story in today's gospel is also about change, and perhaps how hard change can be, even if we're the ones trying to make the change. If what's important in this world is not rules and rituals, but simply having a clean heart and speaking and behaving in a way that honors the fact that all people are made in God's image, then maybe logically you could extend that thinking beyond the people you originally set out to convert and apply it to, well, everyone. It seems like a small, obvious step to take. But here we see the disciples and even Jesus himself needing some outside prompting from the Canaanite woman to connect the dots and think beyond their original mission. Jesus and the disciples are on a mission to preach to the Jews. You know how this works. You set a goal and you get focused. Nothing will distract you, not even a potentially larger opportunity lying right at hand. The city of Sidon did not fall when the Israelites entered the promised land and displaced the Canaanites. So it's likely that there were many more Canaanites around than there were Jews. All of them, potential converts, potential recipients of the word, more than there were the Jews that they had set out to preach to. But oh no, we've set out to preach in the synagogue, so let's stay focused on this. And it takes the Canaanite woman to break through this, and it's quite a remarkable interaction when you think about it. This woman, as Jesus says later, has great faith and undoubtedly the maternal instinct to help and heal her daughter. And that drives her to ask for Jesus' help. But initially, Jesus does nothing. He doesn't even respond to her request. And then the disciples pile on, urging Jesus to send her away. At which point Jesus reiterates the fact that he's on a mission. And he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And yet the woman persists. "Lord, help me," she says. To which Jesus' response is, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And yet the woman persists. Despite the reference to her and presumably all Canaanites as dogs, she turns around and says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And there's the breakthrough. There's the change. And Jesus finally recognizes her for what she is, a woman of great faith. And he grants her wish, and her daughter is healed. So let's think. If Jesus and the disciples don't get it all of the time, are resistant to change, have got the blinkers on at least at first, then perhaps we should cut ourselves some slack when we too want to resist or we miss change. Because it's okay. Change is hard. Change is hard to affect, and more so, change is difficult to accept, especially when it's wholly unwanted. If we're struggling with change, either trying to make changes or trying to accept or deal with the changes being thrust upon us, perhaps we should give ourselves a break and take comfort in the fact that reframing our view of things, of understanding the bigger picture, of seeing things from a different perspective, is simply difficult. And it's okay to be concerned worried, frustrated, afraid, or to simply fail to see what's right under our noses. And so, as we are wearied by the changes and chances of this life, we can ask God for the wisdom to see the opportunity that change can bring, to reconsider what's truly important, to see what is core to our lives and our faith and what isn't, and for the persistence and faith of the Canaanite woman to continue to push through despite whatever obstacles are put before us, however weary we feel, and that in the midst of this change, we find a little slice of peace in the eternal changelessness of God. Amen.